how the Lord creates and how the Lord, you know, empowers him and everything. And then he says that, you know, people think I am Brahma and I am very intelligent and I am the creator of all the creatures. I am so intelligent and so this and so that. But actually I cannot understand the Lord. He says neither me, Lord Shiva, nor, you know, none of us can understand, completely comprehend who the Lord is. And he says, therefore it is best for me to completely meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord. And also, because I am in such a state, you know, so it is better that I hear the transcendental incarnations of the Lord. Because if I hear of the Lord's activities, it will counteract all the foul matters that have accumulated in my ear. And these pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. So, we have to hear, you know, Shalini Talwar Mataji is telling, we cannot be fully satisfied unless we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, his transcendental activities. And we will see that play out in the 4th, 5th and 6th chapters. What, how important it is to immerse ourselves in the pastimes of the Lord. And so Brahmaji himself, the most intelligent being, is trying to hear. So therefore, we must all hear. Also, another question I want to ask you is, what is your experience when you hear about the Lord, his pastimes, his form, when you hear about the Lord's mercy to another devotee? Say, even if it is in Chaitanya Leela or Lord Krishna or Narasimhadev, what feelings come to our heart? To some it might give us some hope, or to some it might inspire us. I just want to hear from all of you. So that when we share like that, about, you know, how it penetrated our heart, how it impacted us, then our resolution to hear more increases. So, would anyone like to share? Like, say, some of you might be reading Krishna book, or some of you are hearing Bhagavatam, some of you are, whatever, please share. Chandrika, would you like to share something?
As of now, no. Yeah, nothing, Mataji. Next time I don't have anything in my mind, actually, as of now.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. Next time you have to share. Rupali, if you can share. Maybe she's busy with the baby. Sangeeta?
Actually, trying to contemplate on what you asked. And so I think it is a matter of building faith and conviction when we hear about other people's experience as to how, you know, what has transformed or what transformation has come upon them in Krishna consciousness movement. Then you also want to try it out, or rather your faith develops too. And then as your faith gets deeper, then you want to act on it. And again, as you act, it's like that sambandh, what is that, sambandh and abhideya, sambandh gyan. First of all, you try to relate with other right, with the other people in this moment. And then when you are able to correlate with what they are saying or what their experience is like, then you want to also put it in use and see if it works on yours. Else, right? So I think ultimately it is the faith and the bhakti. Bhakti also improves due to faith. As your faith grows, goes deeper, then the bhakti takes a higher, is at a higher level, and then so comes love for Krishna too in the end.
Very nice. But specifically when we hear about the pastimes, so what you said is
about the pastimes. Yeah. Uh-huh. When we hear about the pastimes, it is like listening to a sweet story, right? Like when we think of our childhood days, and, you know, from our own parents, of mom's about what it was like, how we behaved as a child and what gave them pleasure. It is the same kind of pleasure that we derive when we hear Krishna's pastimes. Of course, it depends on what kind of mood you are in to listen to Krishna's pastimes, but Krishna's pastimes are such that it enthralls the heart of every human being, every living entity. Be it if you see him as a friend, or if you see him as a das, or if you see him as a mother. If you have that motherly affection towards your child, and then if you see Krishna, in his Damodar Leela, then you develop that mood for him, and you want to keep listening to his pastime, so that your love, like I told you, love becomes stronger, and then you feel like being around him, you feel like being with him, and then you actually are in a transcendental state where your mood is such that you start feeling as if you're around him or you're with him. Is that? I feel,
you feel myself so.
Yeah, I feel very connected. Exactly. Yeah. I am in that mood right now. I want to listen to it more and more, so that I feel that, okay, what is it like to be with Krishna in reality? When we listen to all this so much, we feel like being there, right? We feel like seeing him in person right away. Okay, Krishna, he was in front of us right now. So you feel that connection with him.
Good. Very nice. So hearing about him helps us develop a relationship with him.
Yes.
Good. That's a nice
realization. And it's so pure. It's in such a purest form, right? It's like without any contamination, and it's just pure love. And the way he reciprocates his love to all his devotees. Then in that case, we also have hope, thinking, somewhere down the line we might have his mercy too. And then we pin our hopes about going back to Godhead in this birth itself.
Wow. Very nice. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else who'd like to share about, the impact that hearing Krishna's pastimes have? Sangeeta has covered almost everything. And even Shalini Tagore Mataji covered. But anything else someone would like to share? How do you feel when you hear about Krishna?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Ekta here.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I just want to share, when we hear, if we take only one pastime and we just continue hearing that pastime for multiple times, right? Multiple times you hear that pastime. It was like Damodar Leela, if you take that one, and now the Kartik month is going to come. So if we hear that pastime, you feel like your faith will increase. You feel that it's there. You feel like your faith is increasing day by day. But the thing is, from that pastime, I feel like I get so many lessons. And that we should apply, I'm not telling about everybody. For myself, I feel like these lessons are for me. And I have to meditate upon these lessons and try to apply those lessons in my life so that I can go more near to Krishna. I should build a relationship with Krishna in the same manner in which the devotees are praying and the pure devotees. If we see the Gajendra prayer, I read one time here, you covered those prayers. So that time we just read it, and it was I felt these are such powerful prayers. And I didn't able to get the time to read it again. But the thing is, some things are stuck in my mind from those prayers. And I'm just, every time I'm hankering for that, okay, I have to read those prayers again so that I can get that mood of that devotee, so that I can develop that faith and mood, so that I can pray in that manner to Krishna, so that I can build that relationship. So that's what I feel when I hear more and more and more and more. I think one pastime, and we hear multiple times. So I think that feelings comes in in my heart, like. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you for sharing. So we've heard three wonderful points. One thing Shalini Mataji mentioned is that it's a technique. I mean, it's mentioned that it's a purifying effect. And then Sangeeta is right mentioning that she feels that her relationship with Krishna becomes deeper when she hears about him, and increases her faith. And Ekta Mataji is sharing that when we hear about all these pastimes of the Lord with his devotees, when we get the inspiration, and if we keep repeatedly hearing the same pastime, then many, many lessons come from it, and we get the inspiration to follow those lessons so that we can become closer and closer to Krishna. So very nice. Did I summarize it right for all of you?
Perfect.
Thank you. Anyway, thank you, everyone. So therefore we should read the pastimes of the Lord. And I'll just share my own consciousness with all of you. Like, when I'm reading this third chapter, I'm more excited about reading about the fourth and the fifth chapter with all of you. So this third chapter is all about the pastimes of the Lord. And all of you are sharing such wonderful past points about why we should hear, you know. But if my mind, the way my mind functions, is that I'm not attracted that much to the Lord's pastimes. You know, and I'm like, okay, how can I finish this third chapter fast so that I can, you know, talk about the appearance of Narad Muni and Vyasadeva and that conversation, and, you know, how he helps Vyasadeva, and then how Srimad Bhagavatam comes about. Like, I'm more interested in that. So I'm like, okay, you know, come on, this is all like technique. I know all the incarnations. Let me move on to the next thing. But Brahmaji is telling, you know, we repeatedly hear, the gopis are telling, repeatedly hear, and all of you are telling, Sangeeta Mataji, Shalini Talwar, and Ekta Mataji, they're all telling, repeatedly keep hearing, and, you know, it will increase our faith, it will increase our relationship, it will purify us, but I somehow don't get it. So I'm trying to be in a hurry to finish this chapter, but I should not be like that. So with all of your inspiration, we will start reading the third chapter now. I think we did till the 20th verse. The 20th verse was about who? It was about Parshuram and how he annihilated all the bad Kshatriyas who were not following their duties properly, and then some of the Kshatriyas got scared of him and they migrated to Egypt and Europe. So the kings that were there in Europe and Egypt were descendants of the dynasties of the king that ran away from India out of fear of Parshuram Bhrigupati, because he was annihilating all the Kshatriyas. So if you see the Kshatriya spirit of the Egyptian kings, and if you go and if anyone has, you don't even have to visit, but if you've read about Roman history and Greek history, all the European history, you will see a lot of principles are very similar to our Vedic culture. And like, if some of you have had the fortune of visiting the museums, then you'll see how the kings used to live, how they used to consider themselves as representative of God, protector of the citizens on behalf of the Lord. They had those qualities. They were mentioned for the Kshatriya class in our scriptures. But they were doing some mistakes, so they were not the... But they had those qualities by which they were doing, ruling the kingdom. So anyway, now we'll read text 22. Okay, let me get to chapter view. Sorry. Get together. Okay, I have to take this call. I'm getting from Namapriya Mataji. There'll be a brief call because it's just scheduling for Vaini Priya Prabhu for his lunch. Meanwhile, can Sangeeta read from texts 21 to 25, and I'll just be back in like a couple minutes, but I just have to take that call. Yeah, please start.
Thereafter,
Gita?
In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord adventured himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Vishnu, the Yadu dynasty. And by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. So you'll notice, and Burijan Prabhu also specifies, that we've been reading all the Sanskrit shlokas, but Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan has been used in the in this particular shloka, and it is used only for Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. Right? And Prabhupada also says, the specific mention of the word Bhagavan in this text indicates that Balaram and Krishna are original forms of the Lord. This will be further explained later. Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, as we learned from the beginning of this chapter. He is directly the original personality of Godhead. And Balaram is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladev, the first phalanx of plenary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna expands. Lord Shri Krishna is Vasudev and Baladev is Sankarshana. So this is description. We will see that he is not an incarnation of the Purusha. He is, Lord Krishna is not coming from Shirodakshai Vishnu. Right? All the incarnations are coming from Shirodakshai Vishnu. But he is directly the original personality of Godhead. Like that. So, text 24. Tata kalau sampravrite sammohaya suradvisham buddho namnanjana suta kikateshu bhavishyati. So this is telling about the future. Then in the beginning of Kali Yuga, Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjana, in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist. Now there is something that is explained in this purport that I don't understand very well myself, because it talks about that Buddhas come in every kalpa, and this Buddha that we know is different from the Buddha that is mentioned over here. But so it's confusing for me. I don't understand the Vedic time and how things appear and disappear. But so we will read this thing. So but basically it's the same things that this particular Buddha also taught. Just 1 minute. I'm looking for that section where that particular part has been said. Yeah, it's in the last two paragraphs. So basically the first few paragraphs, Prabhupada is explaining about Buddha's philosophy and non-violence and everything and how people are taking, you know. You see, many of these Americans, even at work, there were so many Americans that converted to Buddhism. They really like it. So here it is said that we are glad that people are taking interest in the non-violent movement of Lord Buddha. But will they take the matter very seriously and close the animal slaughterhouses altogether? If not, there is no meaning to the Ahimsa cult. Srimad Bhagavatam was composed just prior to the beginning of the age of Kali, about 5,000 years ago, and Lord Buddha appeared about 2,600 years ago. Right? Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Buddha is foretold. Such is the authority of this clear scripture. There are many such prophecies and they are being fulfilled one after another. They will indicate the positive standing of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is without any trace of mystic, illusion, cheating and perfection, which are the four flaws of all conditioned souls. The liberated souls are above these flaws, therefore they can see and foretell such things which are to take place in distant future days. So now in this purport, Prabhupada is writing down that the Buddha that is being talked about is the current Buddha who came. But in some other places I have read that it is not this Buddha, it was another Buddha that came in another kalpa of another Kali Yuga. So I am a little confused on that subject matter, so I will not like to discuss it more. But here Prabhupada is saying this, so we will go with what Prabhupada is saying here. So 1.3.25. Athasau Yuga Sandhyayam Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu Janita Vishnu Yashaso Namna Kalkir Jagaspati. So this is again about the future. Thereafter, at the conjunction of the two yugas, the Lord of the creation will take his birth as a Kalki incarnation and become the son of Vishnu Yasa. At this time, almost all the rulers of the earth will have degenerated into plunderers. They are already in plunderers only. All the rulers, the politicians, India, you see, everyone is a plunderer. And even here, you see, everyone is plundering wealth only. It's here, it's just that the corruption is not experienced at our level. But the corruption is at big, big levels. The industries, those medical industries and pharma industries fund only those researches that will help their industry. And then they also try to influence those researches so that it will help them sell more medicines, or it will help them penetrate the medical system more, create more fear in the minds of the patient so that they can do, they'll buy their medicines, or they'll be seen as, you know, their solutions will be considered as that, oh, if I don't do it, then there'll be a problem. So all these things are very interlinked at a very high level. In India, you'll fight with the rickshaw wala, 10 rupees, 20 rupees. And we get very irritated. But here the corruption is at higher level. It is every moment of our life we are influenced. And the way the media and the industry and the technology and the universities and the scientists and the government, they all work hand in glove over here. So very difficult times. We will cover some of that even in the celebrating womanhood topic. So here also there is another foretelling Prabhupada is telling here. But the present Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years, out of which 5,000 has passed, and the remaining 4,27,000 years have to be finished. So it is foretold that at the end of this period, Kalki will come to protect everyone and rule. And then as Kalki will come running in his horse, and he'll vanquish all these plunderers, from behind him, you can see Satyuga is starting. Like you can see it behind him, that Satyuga has begun. And 1.3.26, Avatarya Sankheya Hare Sattva Nidhe Dvijaha Yatha Vidashina Kulya Sarasa Sriusaha Srashaha. Translation, O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. So there are many incarnations of the Lord, and there are so many different things happening, right? And like, not all the incarnations are mentioned over here. So that's what this particular verse is telling, that it is inexhaustible, the list of incarnations of the Lord. There are so many incarnations. And then it says, Prahlad Maharaj said in his prayer, My Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, etc., just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful. You advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of different yugas. In the Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj is saying this in the Bhagavatam himself, in itself, which was spoken much before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Right? So, Prabhupada is telling there are many other places, both in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, in which the incarnation of the Lord as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explicitly mentioned. And in the Brahma Samhita also it is said indirectly that although there are many incarnations of the Lord, such as Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma and many others, the Lord himself sometimes incarnates in person. Right? So Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not therefore incarnations, but the original source of all other incarnations. And we will see that in the next verse, next few verses. The next few verses give general categories of different incarnations of the Lord. Text 27. Rishayo manavo deva manu putra mahaujasaha kala sarve hare revas prajapataya smitaha. So kala is portion of the plenary portion, not kala, it's kala. Like I remember my grandfather used to say that Lord Krishna has so many kalas and Lord Ram has some like kalas little less than the original kala. So that means he was also using the same words. It's all there in our culture. Translation, all the rishis, manus, demigods and descendants of Manu who are especially powerful are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the prajapatis. So basically, these rishis, manus, devatas and all, they are also, some of them are shaktavishavtars. Some of them are vibhutis. Right? So, like, Jesus Christ is considered as a Shakta Vishavatar, an empowered incarnation of the Lord. So, he is still Jiva Tattva, but empowered by the Lord. So, there are different varieties of incarnations of the Lord. So, those who are comparatively less powerful are called Vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called Avesh incarnations. And text 28 is a verse that you must memorize. That's very, very nice. Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. I'll just chant it two more times and you all can chant with me. Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. So, translation. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Purport. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations, and he is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his transcendental abode. So, avatar means to one who descends. Right? So, here it is said that all the incarnations have come from the fountainhead. And who is the fountainhead? Lord Sri Krishna himself. And it's Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, but Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And all of them come on different planets whenever there is disturbed and the Lord comes to protect the theist. So Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Bhagavatam is saying. It's not that ISKCON is telling or Hare Krishna movement is telling or only Prabhupada is telling. Hare Bhagavatam is telling that. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And we have to understand this. That it is not by some sentiment that Prabhupada told us that Krishna is the personality of Godhead. It is there in Bhagavatam. It is there all over the world. It's everywhere. In all the scriptures, it is there. All over the place. This particular thing has been mentioned. So we will read this entire purport and we will end for the day after that. Sangeeta, are you ready? Would you like to read the purport?
Sure, I can. Thank you so much. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his transcendental abode. Avatara means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord himself, descend to the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes he comes himself and sometimes his different plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions or his differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by him, descend to this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. For example, Lord Parashurama and Lord Narasimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods in other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and all other respects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Narasimha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagnya displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation Narada and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Rama and Hanumantri displayed his fame, and Balarama, Mohini and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayana, Rishis, exhibited his renunciation. So all the different indirectly or directly empowered incarnations of the Lord manifested different features, but Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead, and thus it is confirmed that He is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was His internal energetic manifestation of His pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss and knowledge, although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of His pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto. And in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to Himself. In this stanza, the word Svayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source but Himself. Although in other places incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of His specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Svayam signifies the supremacy as a Samambhunam. The Samambhunam Krishna is one without a second. He Himself has expanded Himself in various parts, portions and particles as Svayam Rupa, Svayam Prakasha, Tad Ekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhav, Vilas, Avatar, Avesha and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Samambhunam Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes, but Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100%, and His personal expansions such as Svayam Prakasha and Tad Ekatma, up to the categories of the Avataras who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither Avatara nor Avesha, nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the Jivas, or the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Aridham and Maheshadham. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavana. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body.
Thank you. Want me to read the long?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you read the next one, the Sanskrit translation and purport, and then we will discuss.
Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. So simply knowing factually the mysterious way of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, the birth and the activities of the Lord as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general are not ordinary. They are mysterious, and not only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion is a mystery discovered. Thus, one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites his chapter of Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti, or liberation, indicates that the Lord's birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious, and those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of his birth and activities.
Thank you. So this last verse that Sangeeta read is similar to which verse you have given? Come on, you all have done those chapters, most of you.
We want a clue, which chapter is it?
Oh yeah, that will help. What is that verse? Okay, I'll say the Sanskrit. Try for the translation. Janma karma cha me devyam evam yo veti tatpataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. What an easy hint.
Chapter 2 or chapter 4. So what is the
translation?
Jo mere, the one who understands the mysterious appearances, my appearances, can, something like that. I don't know word by word, but yes, it is what it is. Janma karma cha me devyam, yes.
It's 4.9, Mataji.
Amuta Madhuri is either she is very good at Google search or in her mind everything is there.
No, my kids were learning this one for Balamela, so I remember.
Okay. What is the translation?
That one who understands, knows the transcendental nature of appearance and disappearance of the Lord, does not take birth again in this material world, but reaches his eternal abode.
Yes, so we know. Now, how does that work? Thank you for being very good with shlokas and translation. This is a very good... So now, why is it like that? If we know about the Lord's appearance and disappearance, then why will we not come back? If we understand the nature of his transcendental appearance and disappearance, then why will we not come back again to this world? Or over here it is written, you will get relief from all misery, from the, you will come out of birth, disease, old age and death. Why is it like that?
I think it's similar to hearing about the pastimes, what you were asking earlier. What I used to feel is like whenever we hear the pastimes and we get into that joyful mood of being in that pastime, you know, our mind and everything is completely absorbed in hearing the pastime, and when we know we are also part and parcel of Krishna, and how suffering we are in this material world away from Him. You know, when we don't hear the pastime, that maybe I'll like share my experience with that. When I heard Ramayana for first time, like Amal Bhakta stories, because of my kids, I was hearing, and then I don't want to go to sleep. I just want to hear the finish the pastime completely. And when he was,
Yes, sure. Somebody has us on speaker but not on mute. Yeah, go ahead, Mataji.
Yeah. I used to feel like whenever when there is some trouble, when Ram is going through, you know, it's just a pastime, but I used to feel, is it possible that I can relieve his pain? You know, I want to be there for him. I want to, then when there is some happy pastimes, like Krishna pastimes, like how he is stealing the butter, I want to be with him. That joyful nature that you want to please the Lord, that inspires the love, to develop love, more love for Krishna and then for the Supreme Lord, and then you want to be there. But when reality, when I'm stuck in the material world, I'm not able to enjoy that pastimes like minute by minute or second by second, like I feel deprived of the joy that it's, you know, it is it's supposed to be my eternal nature. I'm a joyful we are, as a spirit soul, we are Sachit Ananda, but you know, we came away from Krishna, we walked away from Krishna, so that's why we are suffering. So what I felt after this, when I was reading this in our class, I was thinking this verse, just by knowing him, just by hearing about his pastimes, you know, all my joy has increased, my happiness has increased more. And I want to be, I don't want to let go of that happiness. I want that happiness to stay with me. So if I want that to stay with me, all I have to do is, like, you know, read, hear, always meditate upon the Lord. So I don't know whether this, so then when we know about the Lord, why he comes, you know, he comes in the next one, he says, that he comes to deliver the devotees.
Alfredo?
Excuse me, sorry.
Sorry,
Mataji.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when he says, like, I come here to deliver the devotees, you know. So, just hearing these pastimes and hearing the what are his activities, we can surely, we won't be thinking about the material world, all the sufferings that we go through, or how we are taken away from that joyful nature of our the spirit soul, of our being, eternal beings. So that's it, Mataji. I don't know whether.
Wonderful. No, it's a nice, thank you for saying. So it's in line with, you know, what. So when we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, the mysterious nature of his appearance and disappearance, and so then we stand, and then we hear about his pastimes of why this material world has been created, why he puts in so much energy in doing that. And then we hear about the pastimes of how he, Medayanti Yuge Yuge, you know, he comes down every millennium to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, give association to his devotees. So, and then we understand that, you know, the Lord comes to this material world, he takes birth, but he does not take birth like we take birth. He is beyond the modes of material nature, the material modes of nature. And we understand why this material world was created. And then we understand, as Mataji said, we understand who we are. You know, so we see that the Lord is creating, the Lord is coming to deliver me. Who am I? Okay, I am eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And I'm an eternal servant of the Lord. And then this Lord keeps coming, and he keeps giving these messages again and again. So once we understand that, we understand Krishna is eternal. Then we understand his pastimes are eternal. We understand we are eternal. And therefore we engage in the eternal dharma, sanatana dharma of serving the Lord. So she summarized it very nicely in a very poetic way, very beautifully explained. So we understand who the Lord is. We see he is transcendental to the material nature. He is in it but not in it. And then we understand my nature is also actually same. I am also spiritual only. But I am getting entangled in the material world. He is not when he is coming. So all these realizations come when we are hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. So we must do it. Anything else anyone would like to share, or we will end for the day and then we will read the next few verses next week.
possible. Okay, so for those of you who have not yet filled out the form, I know it's a little bit of work, but please do fill up the form of celebrating true womanhood. I think some of you have filled it twice, at least three people have filled it twice at different times with different views, which is good. And the reason we have those questions is so that we can design the topics and the points of discussion based on what the needs of the audience is. So it's important that we know what's going on, like, you know, what are you looking for, so that we can address those things. I can be prepared on material for those things as required, and we will start on Thursday. I'm very excited about carrying this out, because I personally find that as I'm preparing for this, I'm seeing a change in myself also. I'm trying to do my duties a little bit better than before. So it's helping me. Looking forward to having all of you. Please like it on Facebook. I would like to make it open to people joining from other places also. So please like it on Facebook. Share it on Facebook if you can, so that other people can also get benefited. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, Sarita Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji. Mataji, I am going to India, but shall I attend on Thursday classes up to 2 weeks? Because I am October 30th.
Yeah, yeah, please attend.
Okay, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.